That's right. Give us a call at 800-878-7529. Do you think it was possible, something could have been done to avoid this tragedy? If you do, in any way, we'd love your comments. 800-878-7529. Tomorrow's show, baseball's Jim Beattie and general manager Josh Burns of the Diamondbacks about the return of the big unit. It's pretty much official now. Randy Johnson returning from New York to the Diamondbacks, and Seth Joyner and Mark Schlereth, another former Bronco, who will give us a comment about this Darren Williams episode tomorrow. But getting back to this, here's a quote from Dr. Stephen Solomon about role models in society and when they come because their families have not given them what is necessary to interpret and make good decisions, how people will look to the wrong kinds of big-name role models.
But when family is broken up or parents are troubled and aren't strong role models for parents, that's when athletes and actors and others in the public eye and their strengths as well as their weaknesses really get internalized by our young people, so oftentimes by having very negative results for them.
That's Stephen Solomon, who's on a show on a semi-regular basis as well. Let's start with Mike Kliss. As you hear that and you think about the multiple opportunities for players to be challenged, to be criticized in public, to be, so the favorite word, disrespected, how can you avoid something like this happening?
Well, you know, another thing I did regarding this type of story is, you know, that's one thing that got the players where they're at, to the elite level, major league level, their major league sport, is the fact that they don't turn the other cheek. You know, they're not afraid. They're fearless. They believe that they're stronger than the next guy. What's that?
They're bulletproof.
Yeah, they're bulletproof. They do not think under any circumstances that they're mortal. They don't think they'll get hurt. And so that mindset is part of the psychic that you need, and Dr. Choka can speak to that better than me, but you know, I see there's an inherent, you know, the best you get, Nick, and there's an inherent cockiness is what I want to say, and some people don't quite cross that line, but that between confidence, there's a line between extremely confident and cockiness. And even the most modest athlete at least bumps the line there and stays on this side of extreme confidence without being cocky. But still, the point is, there is this physical superiority that they feel, and nothing like you know, going out and having a good time. The machismo that comes with women, you going after women, and where do guys go look for women? They go to look for them at nightclubs and in bars. And
where do girls go to look for athletes?
Yeah, same, you know, same thing. And that's where it the whole confluence of danger, I think, comes together. And it's tough for the athletes to pull away from that. By the way, I just want to interject one thing here, gentlemen, and that is, in Bronco land, as difficult as this tragedy is, it is time for the Broncos to move on, and business is business, and they just fired Larry Coyer as their defensive coordinator today. So, anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there, that the grieving period, and maybe that's when the grieving period officially ends and business begins, is when the body is laid to rest.
Well, I don't think this grieving period is over yet. Dr. Choka, what advice would you give to Pat Bowlen and to the rest of the Broncos organization in this offseason to make sure that not only is Darren Williams' death learned from, but it's also a means to honor him and his wonderful personality and all of the good things that he represented?
Well, probably one of the best things they can, the Broncos can do is to dedicate themselves to behave in a way that does not portray any kind of negative image that that Mike was talking about, because these guys aren't a role model. So using a negative to create a positive into the future is very common if you do it in the right way, and they can utilize this situation to truly demonstrate what you know, what they want to be and what the players need to be, so that they don't go down the slippery slope of getting involved in seedy areas, even if they personally are not in that domain.
Let me give you a couple examples, and Mike, I like your comment on this. I want to juxtapose the way a Chris Leak and a Troy Smith have handled themselves. Those are guys that have the confidence, but it's not a cockiness that's out of control. It's harness. Even as Chris Leak talked after the game, when he could have let it all out, you
right.
saw that. You saw it also with Troy Smith. Then you compare them to, let's say, a T.O. and a Tank Johnson, who are having so much difficulty differentiate their public persona from their private lives. And finally, an interesting example of in-between is Larry Johnson, who I had on a television show called 38 Sports Spot in Kansas City a couple times before he made it big, and had an episode with an ex-girlfriend in a outside a bar where some people said that he may have hit her or threatened her. And yet he's not had any of those in the last couple years. So it's as if some of these players that come from difficult backgrounds that are very sensitive to being perceived as being manly men, being macho, being strong right. in a certain way, they can learn from it.
They can, and in general, and I apologize to anybody if they're offended by this general statement that I'm going to make, but it seems to me I can almost tell whether white, African American, Asian, Latin American, if they've had a strong father figure, a two-parent family, and those, you know, sometimes you don't know, and many kids grow up even in single-parent families and become upstanding citizens. But those who seem to get it, to understand, have that moral fiber in them, have that common sense. There's discipline somewhere in their life. As they grow up and where that discipline comes. Sometimes the mom alone can do that. But discipline in youth is what leads to what kind of men, I think, and a good type of discipline. Not the type of discipline where the belt comes out or anything like that, but I'm just saying guys who are brought up, I can almost tell when they've had real strong parents just by when I talk to them and interview them.
We've talked to Charles Barkley. We're going
to
have a quote.
That?
Well, just let me just say, we talked to Charles Barkley, and we're going to have a quote from him at the beginning of this last segment coming up about this, about the fact that those players that have that kind of support, are completely different. In fact, if you look at the Suns, one of the things is it's with the exception of a couple players, they're almost all African-American. They are absolutely motivated, focused team players giving. It's not about race. It doesn't have to be about race. It is about choosing the guys that get it.
Right. I mean, that's the character issues that become involved, and now you get into the team. You know, I've heard this before. All management, all owners, all head coaches, all general managers, they say in the beginning of the season, what I really like about our team this year is we've got a lot of high character. We've got a lot of great character. And then as the season comes out and then you kind of get to know people in the locker room and, they've got a lot of guys who can play. And I think the bottom line for head coaches is such a cutthroat business. You can't have a bunch of choir boys in your National Football League locker room. So and be successful. I think it's a fine line. I don't know where you draw the line. I'm sure that's a constant battle, and I'm sure not everyone makes good decisions. People might make better decisions than others, but I don't think you ever make 100% good decisions when judging character and putting your team together. But there has to be. I know coaches struggle with this: character versus talent. And, boy, sometimes it's really tempting to go with the talent.
Yeah, well, I would add one thing to that, Mike, talent and also money. And
yeah.
The reason I say that is the interesting thing is, and I was heavily involved in college sports when I was working with with sports teams at West Point. And one of the things that we've always recognized in the past was that sports was supposed to be one of the systems in which people learn discipline and self-control and self-discipline and so forth. And I think somewhere along the line, the need to be successful and the money that's behind even college sports today, I think somewhere along the line, a lot of our organizations have lost sight truly being a part of developing the character and discipline of our players, which, you know, sports has always been the environment in which one could do that regardless of their family background. And I think we're starting to really miss the boat there, and we're beginning to see that at college, and certainly we're seeing that at the pro level.
And you see it where players will act out in the middle of a playoff game when they make one good play. My good friend Michael Strahan, I was with him last night with Howie Long and Emmett Smith and Jimmy Johnson after the game at the Phoenician. And, you know, Michael, I love to death, but I found it interesting and near the end of the season in the game that he later was injured in again, and that ended his season. He had a big sack, and he ran about 40 yards almost down to midfield to celebrate. So it's not just the guy. I mean, it's also falls victim. Players fall victim that really are pretty solid guys. But you see this acting out. Ted Ginn was knocked out of the game last night, probably because after that 93-yard touchdown run, everybody had to celebrate so much that they fell on top of him. So there's a lack of discipline. There's a lack, and I don't want to get too anal about it. Mm-hmm. Forgive me for that phrase, but why teams today don't do more to make sure that their players understand that they can celebrate all they want after the game is over.
Yeah, I got two thoughts I want to add to that. One, last year I did a story on why it always seems to be the receivers that act out the most. And they're the ones that seem the more petulant. They're the ones that kind of break from the team before self concept that everyone seems to get except for the receiver who want the ball. For some reason, they're allowed out on their island, and maybe it's inherent with their position that they are out on their line on the island when they're split out away from the ball. You know, I did kind of a psychological piece on that last year. And the other thing is, I'll add, is, Mike Shanahan last year, the Broncos were big on that mile-high salute. And last year, Kyle Johnson, a fullback, had some really neat touchdown dances, bucking Bronco, and they're kind of entertaining. He had great dances both times, but Mike Shanahan pulled him aside and said, act like you've been there before. And so the touchdown dances are pretty were sequestered by Mike Shanahan. Although, interestingly enough, when Javon Walker came here, Javon was allowed to do all his gyrations that he does in the end zone. So I'm not sure what kind of message that sent.
Well, what you see also is, thank God, you see people like LT and more players who understand, like a Marcus Allen did, that acting like you've been there sends a very powerful message, just as the Florida team didn't say a whole lot the week before the game. They did their talking on the field. We're going to do our talking in the final segment about this article by Mike Cleese in the Denver Post about other tragedies in sports and how teams have dealt with it, with Louis Choka from Apex Performance and Mike Cleese. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite Channel 120.